flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Save his life, call his wife, and 405. McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. It's Thursday already, a day away from Friday. That's typically how it works. Here with you, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We open with the Knicks with a terrific win over the Denver Nuggets. 122-112, an impressive victory over the 4 seed in the Western Conference after beating the 3 seed a couple days ago. In this 5-game winning streak, the Knicks have really made a statement here. And even Jokic said after the game that the Knicks, who has had their way with Jokic over the last 3 times they've played, I think it's the last 3 times, twice this season now. And last year, I remember that big win in January in Denver, kicking the crap out of the Nuggets. I mean, he's called them a top-5 team and a top-5 contender for an NBA championship. And, you know, I joked about it with a previous caller. Typically, stars come into New York and kick the crap out of the Knicks and then talk up the building, the city, and maybe the fan base. That's typically how it's gone for the last 20 years. LeBron James, who will come in on Saturday, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they come into the Garden, kick the crap out of the Knicks, and then tell us how it's the Mecca of basketball and the Garden is so special and they love playing here. Now we have superstars coming into the Garden, getting their ass kicked, and talking about how good the Knicks are, how good the basketball team is. That's unusual. That's refreshing. That's new. I'm used to stars coming in and they're never wanting to play here. No, they don't want to play here. They want to come here and enjoy the Mecca of basketball while they kick the tar out of the lousy New York Knicks. That's been going on forever. Now superstars, MVPs come here, get their ass kicked, and talk about how the Knicks are championship ready. It's a new world. And watching this game, you could take a lot out of this Knick game, man. A lot. Jalen Brunson, not only the scorer that he needs to be when he needs to be, which he was in this game, 30 points, but 15 assists. I mean, his ability to see the floor this year and how different he's adapted to this team now that Karl-Anthony Towns is on it, although Karl-Anthony Towns didn't have a great game tonight, or last night rather, but Bridges and Anobi, the ability for them to shoot, even though you'd like it more consistently from Bridges in particular, but like his 15 assists, his assists are up, he's leading the floor more. Like what you're seeing from Brunson becoming this all-around player as opposed to just the Superman who could put on the scoring cape when they need to score 50, when he needs to drop 50 to beat the 76ers in the playoffs. We're seeing that. We saw stretches in this game. Early on, they jump out to the big lead. The aforementioned Joker gets into a little bit of foul trouble, two quick fouls. He's off the floor. Knicks go on a little bit of a run. Murray leads them back. But they're down 7 points after taking a lead early on. And this team battles back. They showed resilience, and they did it with the bench. I mean, for all the talk of minutes and all the talk of rotations and Tibbs and all that, I mean, this team goes on a run there, and especially the beginning of the fourth quarter with McBride making threes and showing you they can play and they can hang with even the likes of the Denver Nuggets when Cat's on the bench or when Brunson's on the bench, and they can do things, you know, with their second unit a little bit. That was the ability of the bench to score some points and to help the coming back in the game, I thought was enormous. OG Anunoby, what was he, 5 of 7 from three-point land? His legs have looked tired lately. I thought he's been, the last couple games, showing a little bit more life, hitting some big shots. Even the defense, how many turnovers as of late? And in this game, they scored 23 points off of 14 turnovers. We see them being able to score in different ways. They obviously have been traditionally this year a half-court offense. They haven't run as much, but they're capable of doing it. I mean, obviously, Josh Hart is as good a coast-to-coast player there is in the NBA, but even, you know, off long rebounds, off of steals, how many times did we see? There was like a moment in the second quarter where it was like 4 out of the 5 possessions ended in dunks from OG Anunoby or Josh Hart. I mean, they do it in a myriad of ways. And right now, off a 5-game winning streak, that's far more impressive than the 9-game winning streak we saw earlier in the season, you know, when they were beating the Wizards twice and they were beating the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, although this does have a, you know, a Brooklyn win in it, I mean, you're talking about Memphis and Denver in back-to-back games and blowing out Memphis. And again, Jokic coming in here and talking up the Knicks. Not the building, not walking in, putting up 50, kicking the crap out of the Knicks and talking up the building and the mecca of basketball and how great the fan base is and how much he loves the city and the meals he gets here. He leaves with his ass kicked talking up the Knicks playing basketball. Now you've got 3 games before the big showdown. Saturday, this Saturday, 8:30 on ABC against LeBron and the Lakers. Monday against Houston, then you go to Toronto, setting up the Saturday before the Super Bowl, 8:30 on ABC, Knicks-Celtics. And right now, the New York Knicks playing excellent basketball, a game behind Boston. That's going to be a huge game. That's going to be as big a regular season game as the Knicks have played in a long time, because you know what? It's not just the hope. Last year was like, hey, I know they were playing great during that January run after the Anunoby trade. And when Randall, before he got injured, they were, you know, the best team in basketball for a 3-week stretch. But it was like, hey, you know, I mean, is there, you know, are they as good as everybody this side of the Celtics? And then, hey, anything could happen in a playoff series. Like, that was the thought. Now it's, hey, they're a game better. That's it. The Celtics are a game better. The New York Knicks have just kicked the crap out of 2 of the top 5 teams in the Western Conference. They've got 2 starting all-stars playing good basketball. The bench is rounding into shape, waiting on Mitch Robinson, who I guess you got, I don't know, somewhat good positive news on. I don't know. He's still not cleared for contact. He's still not cleared to play, but he's running and jumping. I don't know. So we'll see. He'll be cleared to play when he's cleared to play. There's a lot of talk about possibly moving him at the deadline. That comes on February 5th. 5th or 6th, I should have written it down. 5th or 6th, but it's coming. They're going to have to make a decision on whether they keep Mitch and try and bolster the defense, or they could possibly try and get better offensively and just go with improving their strength. But either way, the Knicks have two of the best five players in the Eastern Conference. They are playing excellent basketball. They just took down two of the five best teams on the West. They're on a five-game winning streak. They're scoring 120 and 140 a night. Their defense is picked up. They're turning the other team over. Their bench is showing life. Nobody played 40 minutes in this game. Their depth is improving. Their team is improving. Their stars are improving. And right now, they look like a team that can contend for an NBA championship, and that feels nice to say. And we get ready for that Boston game on Saturday before the Super Bowl. That's going to be a huge game. Lakers, this Saturday will be fun, but Boston in a week and a half now is going to be an enormous, enormous game. Looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. We talked a lot about Hal Steinbrenner and the ridiculous Yankee fans or anybody who believes that he should be the Dodgers. I think you're crazy. I'm frustrated with him too, and I want him to fix this third base and be willing to spend some money, but the idea that he said they can't be the Dodgers and people are pissed about it is freaking crazy. We haven't really touched on the Mets and Ryan Stanek. We'll get to it. Taking your calls on Knicks, Yankees, Mets. Wilkes is now is the defensive coordinator for the New York Jets. We knew that was coming, but the Jets get a little experience. The head coach, Aaron Glenn, gets someone who Steve Wilkes, who has been a head coach before in the NBA, NFL, rather, sorry, has been a head coach before in the NFL. A rather unsuccessful tenure, probably unfair. Anytime you only get 1 year, it's pretty much, I don't know if it's the great indicator, but he's been through it. He's had some experience, someone to lean on for Aaron Glenn, and I still hope and pray that he decides to lean on a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's where he should be doing his leaning. 888, especially with a rookie offensive coordinator. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Don in Fort Lee. What's up, Don?
What's up, Christopher?
What is up?
Thanks for taking my call. So, a couple things. So, first of all, I want to commend you, give you kudos for the way you handle the callers is very commendable, because I know you're a diehard fan for your team, but you still look at them, you show the greatest respect for your callers, and you look at everything unbiased, and you give them a fair opinion.
I'm not sure Jeff in Manhattan agrees with you, but I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see that. It's not, with every host, it isn't as indicative, you know?
Oh, well, thank you.
But yeah, no problem.
What I'm doing here, the calls are so important. So it's nice to hear that you feel I do a good job with that. So thank you.
No, absolutely. So I'm a Villanova grad, so I followed all the Villanova players throughout their Villanova tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Hart, 6'4", he was a 3-star recruit. Only a 3-star recruit.
Yep.
Bridges was a 4-star recruit. So. Jay Wright looked for a high-character guy with potential, and the improvement that these guys showed year over year at Villanova, including Brunson, was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Josh can be, he's probably one of the most underpaid players in the league right now, to what he brings to the table. He could be the fourth guard in NBA history to average 10 rebounds a game at 6'4". That's how well he's playing.
Yeah. I just think
the Villanova guys, the cohesiveness is an extension of their college days together. They're so familiar and comfortable with each other that they play better, you know, with each other than they do without each other.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, that's not new. I mean, obviously last year they had the Big Ragu as well with them. So, I mean, we've had this Villanova connection for a while. Bridges just adds to it. For a while, it looked like it was going to be almost half the roster Villanova. But absolutely. And look, I don't know. I'm hoping it'll really gel moving forward even more. I think you could make the case, believe it or not, that it's hindered Bridges a little bit to start the year, because he went from being, you know, the guy, I suppose, in Brooklyn, or someone who, you know, was clearly the number one scorer, didn't have to fit into anybody else and how they played the game as much. Like, it was about him. Once, obviously, you know, the team acquired him and was moving on from the big three or whatever. Like, he was able to just play his game, be the guy, get his points, and then he had to come into a system, even though it's with familiar pieces and familiar players, rather. And it's also the dynamic of a little bit of the younger brother, right? They were having fun with him on the podcast. He's got to come in, and he went from being like the player with the Nets to come in and fitting into their system and the dynamic of, like, you know, I'm a Beatles fan, so I'll give you the George Harrison. And not that Josh Hart is Paul McCartney or John Lennon, but he comes into two established guys who have been with the team, one with the team, who are a little bit older and who have been doing this and have that relationship when they came up in college and he was, you know, younger than they were. And it's that. So I think that might have even hurt Bridges early on. And I'm hoping that as the season goes on, and should be already, it's been long enough already, but I think we're seeing that now. But yes, absolutely. The connection they have, this the want to they have for one another, and the, you know, the belief they have in one another, and the desperation to play for one another and not let down one another, and the chemistry on the court, all of it. It's been important. And we talked about this a lot last year. It's not new. So, like, I'm wondering, because sports, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, it's a copycat league a lot. And whatever works will typically attempt to be duplicated. And I'm wondering if this, you might start to see trends in the NBA of, I'm not saying going out of your way to acquire the entire starting five of a champion. You know, no one's going to go out there and, you know, try and recreate Gonzaga. But, like, if you have a player or two on your team of a certain college, and then in the draft, it's a toss-up on a draft board, would you make decisions, or would that, you know, help sway a decision by, hey, if I bring him in here, he's playing with two guys or a guy he's played with in college? I would think that might start to be, if it hasn't already, and even before all this, if that wouldn't have been a thought, it might have been. It might have been a thought going back in the NBA for a while now. I can't remember any real big three the way the Knicks have had the last 2 years, but could that be more of a thing like, hey, you know what, it's a toss-up between this guy or this guy? Well, with this guy, we at least know we have the chemistry. They played together in college. Because it's clearly helped the Knicks. I don't think there's any doubt. And last year, even more, because it felt like it was less talented. Bridges can score. Bridges is a talented player. Bridges was worthy of, you know, they traded for Hart, too. They didn't give up 5-6 first-round picks. Like, Bridges is a immense talent, scorer of the basketball. Last year, it really felt like the chemistry of the Villanova three were a lot to do with the Knicks' success. Now, that's true, but it's also, you know, they're more talented. Maury and Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
What's
how you
up?
Doing, Chris?
Good, how are you?
You know, the Knicks were home dogs yesterday.
Yes, they were.
Home dogs.
Home dogs.
Light is 3 points yesterday. Unbelievable.
Anyway, I know.
I love what's going on. I love what's going on. The energy is incredible. They put it all together. I just want to make sure that the coach does what he has to do and start using that bench. And as you can see, this bench has some legs, baby.
Yeah, I think that's a major storyline of the game, is that the bench has legs, and the bench was part of the, you know, coming back from down 7 points. And, you know, McBride hits a couple of big shots in the fourth quarter to start the fourth.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I mean, hopefully, and that's what you want. You know, that's what Tibbs needs. Like, Tibbs isn't going to do it on faith.
Yep.
Tibbs is going to need to see it. And so I'm glad they're starting to show it, because they need it. They need a deeper rotation.
Yeah, and then I think what you just said is spot on. I mean, I look at some of these basketball NBA teams, and you look at their roster. A lot of them have like 5 Kentucky players on them, or 4 Duke players, or 2 Duke players. So there is some method to that madness where, you know, maybe the guy came in the year before, let's get the synergy. And now I want to throw this one at you. Josh Allen is done. He's had enough of Buffalo, wants to come to New York and hang out with his old coaches. Any idea how we could pull something like that off?
No.
Number one.
No.
I know, I dreamt.
No, Malik Nabers, Dexter Lawrence, and 3 first-round picks.
All right,
and that might get them to start negotiating from there. Like that, crazy it is.
But how many times can you bang yourself against the wall with that team and say, I've had enough? I mean, maybe he does need to change his scenery, come down south a little bit, get out of Buffalo. We could use him.
All right, yeah, you could use him. The Giants could use Josh Allen, that's for sure. Look, I think he's very happy with his current offensive coordinator, and I think he loves it there. And yes, I mean, it's frustrating, but they also get there. You can't. He's going to go to the Giants And, you know, I'm tired of all this winning during the regular season but losing in the playoffs in Buffalo. Let's go to the worst franchise in the sport and see how we can turn this thing around. let me go take on Kansas City with the New York Giants. That's a much better situation for me than Buffalo. I mean, look, do I think the Giants are a contender in the NFC? If just Josh Allen. If Josh Allen were to join this current team, I think they win a playoff game. That's how good Josh Allen is. That's how much of a difference that would make. So don't get me wrong. Josh Allen would still win. Wherever he goes, he's going to win. That's how good he is. Whatever team he goes to, there's not a team in the NFL right now that you put Josh Allen on and they're not competing for a playoff spot. At the bare minimum. Not a single team in the NFL. I don't care. You pick it. He goes to Tennessee, they're in the playoffs. He goes to Cleveland, they're winning. It's not even close. You pick a team. So, but I mean, what can you do to get him here? Nothing. What can you do? Like I said, Malik Nabers for sure, 3 or 4 first round picks for sure. Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, and a partridge in a pear tree. I mean, I've no idea. It's silly to even talk about. Let's just talk about what their actual options are. Because I'm pumped, and I'm telling you, I heard already this Jackson Dart stuff. Already. So if you are, I want you to understand this, because if you are the type of Giant fan who has the plan of getting the young quarterback but doing it later, getting Abdul Carter or getting Hunter or getting an elite talent or maybe even trading back and getting more picks, whatever you thought possibly be, because you don't like Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders and you just don't have it in you for whatever reason to draft a quarterback number 3. Because the quarterback, if you get it wrong, it sets you back 6 years. Whatever your reasoning is, and you don't want to draft the quarterback, you hate them, they're terrible, whatever. I'm telling you now, don't have this vision of drafting the great player who changes the franchise defensively. Because those are the two guys, Carter Hunter. Don't think you're going to get the edge rusher or you're going to get the shutdown corner. You're going to get the generational talent and then find a quarterback later in the draft. You can't count on that because we are a week into this, practically. They're at the Senior Bowl or whatever the name of the bowl is, and already all the reports of how Jackson Dart is throwing the ball, reports of Milroe with his shirt off as an absolute physical specimen. Like, I'm telling you, these quarterbacks don't last, and you can't guarantee that you could trade back into the first. You can't guarantee they're there for you in the second. I don't want to hear, I love Jackson Dart, and so I would draft Hunter, and I'd take Dart with my second pick. He's going to be gone. It's already happening. J.J. McCarthy, after he won the national championship, was nowhere near the top of the draft. 2 weeks later, I could see him go top 10, and guess what happened? So please, enough with that plan. The Giants need a quarterback, and I pick Jackson Dart. I don't care. Pick Dart, pick Milroe, pick whoever the Giants think is the best quarterback. It sounds like they think it's Shedeur Sanders. Get him. And if it takes moving up to 1, you go do that. Get the franchise quarterback and breathe some life into this building, into this franchise. Please. Please.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 4:31, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I was just out in the newsroom, and the Presti's out there, And we were talking about Evan Roberts. I haven't had a chance to listen to the most recent Rico Bronya, but if you have, he was celebrating his 420th episode by doing the podcast while taking a gummy. So you got to go check that out.
Did you not know that? That's why I referenced earlier that I was excited to go back and listen to the recap.
Yeah, I didn't. I forgot about that. No, I forgot about it. When you said that, I didn't. That was not on my mind. That, yeah, no, I got to go back and listen to Evan, who I guess they were talking today, has never partaken in anything along those lines, has never had any of the marijuana in his life. But I can only imagine Evan talking Mets like that. So that would be fun. Chris is probably going to get some sound. He'll play it for you in the morning show. I wonder how excited he can get about Ryan Stanek. Maybe a gummy can really up the ante on that. But Evan is just, he's so out there. I'm surprised he's never done it before. But celebrating the 420 podcast.
Are you really?
No, I'm not overly surprised.
It makes perfect sense that he hasn't. And that his first time is for a Mets podcast.
Yeah, no, that is so on brand. You're right. It's 100% right. That is very on brand. The Mets did sign Ryan Stanek, someone they need for the bullpen, was very good for them down the stretch of the season, one of their best relievers by the end. And people are trying to read into it. It's like one of those things where, on itself, okay, it's good. They could use some bullpen help. But we're trying to find out and read through the tea leaves of, like, is it such a big signing and that they won't sign Pete? Because they've talked about that, right? The owners talked about, well, listen, eventually we got to move on and we're going to sign players and it's already an expensive roster. And, Stanek, that doesn't move the needle necessarily on that, right? You feel like, does that hinder? Really, with Steve Cohen, and I know I've been yelling a lot about Hal Steinbrenner, no relief pitcher signing should impact whether or not they want Pete Alonso. And that's why I still, even now, I get a lot of people are mad at me. This one guy in particular is going at me on Twitter. I still would argue that the Mets don't want Pete Alonso. It could be parsing words. It could be, what's the word? I'm not parsing words. What's the word I'm looking for? Parsing words, whatever. There's a difference between want and are willing to take. I really believe that. And I think the owner clearly is willing to bring back Pete Alonso, even more so than the general manager. I think Stearns doesn't want Alonso. I think he'd rather move on. I think if he woke up today and the story, if he got a text now at 4:34 in the morning from, whomever in the organization saying Pete just signed with the Toronto Blue Jays, he would have a huge feeling of relief wave over him. But clearly what you saw at Amazing Day is the owner is willing to continue to try and convince Pete to take the contract that Stearns and the Mets are willing to give him. Because I'm sorry, if Steve Cohen wants something, you give a little bit more than the bottom dollar. I understand he's a businessman. I understand, hey, you don't become a billionaire by making bad deals and all that, and the market and all that. Fine, I get it. I just have a tough time saying that Steve Cohen wants it. He wants it. He wants Pete back, and yet won't budge on what's fair value and what he's willing to accept him for. So you want to get on me that they're back to negotiating, and we'll see if that's even true, the report that they're back to negotiating, but hopefully they are because it makes too much sense for both sides. But I firmly believe that the Mets are willing to do it at a certain number, but they don't want to go at all over what they want. And Ryan Stanek shouldn't stop them from getting Pete Alonso if they want him. Hell, no other signing they're going to make from this point on, because I don't expect them to bring in Bregman. I don't expect them to go sign some of these hype, as we just saw a flurry of all these relievers go off the board over the last 24 hours or so, 48 hours or so. So there's no signing the Mets are going to make at this point that I think should eliminate them from getting Pete Alonso if they want him. And we've gone through this a bunch of different ways. I still feel strongly that that's true, what I'm saying. But I also feel strongly that it's time for Pete to tell his agent to get out of the way. And that's, I guess, the other report of the day for Pete Alonso and the Mets is that people are other agents. It's reported that other agents are calling Pete Alonso and trying to convince him to jump ship. And Pete's not answering any calls. He's locked in with Scott Boras. So we'll find out if anybody else is willing to offer Pete any money. But every day that passes, every day that I've been saying for a long time, I think it's done. I don't think they want him. He's going to go somewhere else. Every day that passes, it's more and more likely that that line of thought is wrong. That eventually the meeting of where the Mets are willing to give him and where Pete is eventually going to have to go are going to eventually align and he's going to be a Met. Every day that passes, it feels more and more likely. And I think that's the best thing for the Mets and for Pete. And I, at this point, it just feels like that's inevitably going to happen because I don't know if Pete's offer. We don't know anything. Like, I don't know if Pete's willing to take 3 years from other teams. I don't know if Pete's offering the same structure to other teams. Maybe Pete still wants the 5-6 year deal if he's going to go outside of the Mets. But the feeling is Pete Alonso desperately wants to stay a Met, and the Mets are willing to take him for a certain price. And either he's going to go somewhere else, or eventually he's going to be saying, all right, whatever, Scott, get me the best deal. Get, you know, sign the freaking contract with the Mets. I want to be a Met. It's getting tiresome. It's getting old. It's getting tiresome. Eventually, it feels like Pete's going to do it. But again, the idea that we're waiting for that shoe to drop, because I don't believe Steve Cohen in that manner. I really don't. Like, if Steve, like, oh, the eventually we're going to sign players, and eventually we're going to have this high payroll, and eventually we'll get to a point where we can't pay Pete. I don't, that's just not true. I don't believe it to be true. Who are they going to sign? They're going to go from within. They're going to move Vientos over to first base and play Beatty at third, or another or Mauricio or someone else at third base. They're not going out and replacing Pete with a big contract. That's the one part of what, you know, and I know everyone was calling it a truth bomb that Steve Cohen dropped. That's the only part I don't know if I believe to be the truth, that eventually they'll get to a place where even if Pete comes back to them and says, okay, I'll take the deal you're offering, that they'll go, nope, sorry, I signed Ryan Stanek. It's just not going to happen. If Pete ever comes to their number, they'll take him. That's it. They've put a value at Pete. There's a certain number where if Pete says okay, they will say okay. But they're not going to go above and beyond at all. And to me, even renegotiating just means that Steve Cohen's willing to continue to talk to him and try and convince him to take the money they want to give him. Let's go to Phil and Howell. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? I like to talk about the upcoming draft because I'm a big-time Giant fan.
Okay.
I just have to throw some theories out at you. They have the number 3 pick, all right? Now, being a Giant fan for such a long time, I'm a 70-year-old guy, okay?
Okay.
So I've been through it all, all right? So I just don't believe that if you watch the Giants this year, they are really, really, they're really a bad football team. Mm-hmm. They really are, okay? Now, to me, I can't take the Cam Ward or the Sanders kid. Number one, the reason is that they are so bad that it just, you know, you can't just throw a rookie out there when you have such a bad team. Now, my theory is,
do you think Washington was a good team last year when they won 4 games? Do you think they were a good team without the quarterback? Do you think they're in the NFC Championship game? Like, I mean, the quarterback can change everything.
They got lucky.
We're going to find out.
He's that good. He's very good.
You got to take the chance. You got to take the chance. That's the only thing that turns around the franchise. Because, like,
Can I throw something out at you, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about if they drop down, like, 2 picks to Jacksonville, okay?
Okay.
And
why would Jacksonville?
Jacksonville is willing to give up Trevor Lawrence. Would you make that deal?
The Jaguars aren't going to do it. And no, I mean, as much as I might like Trevor Lawrence, the whole point, He's already been paid. I want to get the young quarterback and not pay him and then be able to put money around the roster. And I just, I appreciate you. I know you're a longtime Giant fan, and your point is valid. I understand that the Giants aren't a very good football team, but I just hate that argument. I fundamentally hate it. I fundamentally hate the idea that the Giants aren't good enough to make a young quarterback work. It's a flawed way of thinking. The Texans were garbage, and C.J. Stroud turned them around. The Washington Commanders were terrible. The 2 overall pick, they were playing in the NFC Championship game this year. Now, if the argument is Sanders isn't Daniels, I mean, I understand. We don't know. And the idea that, oh, I can't take him. You want to trade back, I get that. But like, all right, the team is terrible. Let's go get that shutdown corner. That'll fix everything. Like, what? If Shedeur Sanders is good at the quarterback position, but not good enough to turn them into a winner. Okay, but let's just say he's a good quarterback with showing promise, right? How does that not help you more than getting a shutdown corner on a bad team? Like, you still have to go out and get talent. The shutdown corner, it doesn't necessarily change your entire franchise. The Jets had a shutdown corner. How's it gone? You get the right quarterback, it changes your franchise. The juice is worth the squeeze. You take a chance. Like, I just don't. And again, they have an all-pro left tackle, or at least a Pro Bowl left tackle in Andrew Thomas when he's healthy. He's got to stay healthy, but when he's healthy, all-pro, Pro Bowl left tackle. Illuminor is a good tackle. I think they've got their tackles fixed. They need to fix the interior of the line, but they have money in free agency, and they'll have draft picks in the second, third, fourth round to go get other interior linemen and hopefully change the offensive line. They've got a number one wide receiver to give him in Malik Nabers. They've got a young, talented one, you know, him and Bucky Irving were the two best rookie running backs in this year's, you know, in the NFL this year. Like, I like some of the other weapons in the passing game. Like, why is that not a good spot with a coach who is, I know we're all pissed off at him right now, and I'm not going to call him a quarterback whisperer, but worked with Josh Allen, turned, you know, gave Daniel Jones the best year of his career, and turned Tommy Cutlets from someone who wasn't allowed to throw the football versus the Jets to someone who in prime time beat Love and the Green Bay Packers, who went on to look very good in the playoffs. I want to give the young quarterback, and like, the Giants aren't this, like, oh, they're so bad that a young quarterback can't succeed. I don't believe that. I really don't. They've got pieces there to be good with the young quarterback. And you got to take the chance. Again, you got to take the chance, man. And Trevor Lawrence is a great, they would never do it, I don't think. They just brought in their coach, and he's talking up, working and making it work around Trevor Lawrence. Like, they're not going to trade Trevor Lawrence. And even so, what would Trevor Lawrence do to this team if you don't think, you know, Shedeur Sanders can do anything? Like, it's either quarterback doesn't help. If a quarterback doesn't help, why go trade for a quarterback who's been paid already and is making a ton of money? Just, we're overthinking it, people. Draft Sanders. That's it.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 450, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Last segment, you know how we do it. We take as many calls as we can, 888-808-1019. On this Thursday morning, tomorrow, the first non-football Friday in a long time. We still have one more coming, I suppose, before the Super Bowl next week. This is the weekend to try and find something to do. I know it's the weather's not exactly great yet, but you try and tell the wife there's something to do. What can we do? What can we do? I know what my wife's going to tell me. I know exactly what my wife's going to tell me. Clean the garage. She bought like a big, shelving thing for all the kids' sports stuff. So it's like a big shelving thing she wants me to put together. It keeps all the baseball stuff together, the basketball stuff together, the foot, like all their stuff, all their cleats, all their stuff, all their bats, all their... So she wants me to put that, and then she wants me to clean the garage and make room for it. I guarantee you that's what I'll be doing on Sunday. That's I would wake up and the first she'd be like, I'm like, oh, good morning, how are you? She's like, good, the garage, remember? You said you'd do it. I asked you to do it on Thursday. You told me to wait Sunday, no football, and you would take care of it. That's what you said. Well, today is Sunday. That's what I will get promptly as soon as I open my eyes Sunday morning. I asked you to do it on Thursday. You said, no, you would do it on Sunday. No football, plenty of free time to do it. You would do it. You promised me you'd do it. Today is Sunday. Go do it. And to be fair, there's a reason why she's going to have to do that because I will forget or I will run out. Oh, I got this. See you, bye, honey. 888-808-1019. Bernadette Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I guess you got a big honey-do list this weekend.
I got it. Well, we'll see. No football. She knows she can't. For weeks and weeks and weeks, she can't bother me on Sunday, and now that's all over.
That's all over. Yeah. You may be singing I want to go home song, but you're already home, but you got to clean your garage.
That's it. Got to clean the garage.
I want to know, why can't they get this deal done already with Pete Alonso.
Yeah, because it's really quite simple.
He wants more time, less more money. I don't understand. How much more money do these guys really need to live? Well, I live on a very small salary. Am I imagining? Well,
how much more money does Steve Cohen need to hold on to?
Exactly.
Because he's got, you know, $15 billion in the bank. So, I mean, do you begrudge Pete Alonso for asking for it, or do you begrudge the owner for not giving it? Because, like, I don't know why, and I'm not getting on you, Bernadette, but a lot of people, that's the first way they turn as well. They go, well, why is Pete being so greedy, but yet the owner's allowed to hold on to his $15 billion?
But the owner also paid $750 million for one person.
I understand.
Which is insane money.
I'm not saying he's cheap. I'm just saying in this situation, and thank you for the call, Bernadette. I appreciate it. I'm just saying in this situation, we are so quick. It happens all the time. Like, especially Pete turned down the contract. Pete hired Boris. Shame on him. Shame on Pete for betting on himself and then hiring an agent. Now, he lost. I get that. And I know you were screaming that at your car radio if you're listening to me there. He lost when he bet on himself. And we all understand that contract went out the window. That's why he's come back to them for 3 years. Now, there is no market for him. He needs to understand. I agree with all that. But your thought of how much money does Pete Alonso need? Like, just be a Met. You said you want to be a Met. Take the deal they're offering and shut your mouth. Like, I don't know why we have that opinion with guys so much. I don't know why we take even when it comes to the, and hopefully there's not another one in 2 years, and I think there will be, but when it comes to like the CBA and everything, like how much money do these players need? Like how much do they need? Well, the money's getting split. The money's not going back into your pocket. Tickets aren't getting cheaper. Why do you care if the owner has the money or the player has the money? Because, you know, we played Little League and we can envision ourselves as the player and we would do it for free because they're businessmen and the other guys get to play a game for a living. I'm not sure why, but Bernadette, I that's like the, how much money does Pete need? I don't know how much money does Cohen need to hold on to? But he's a businessman. Pete's lucky to be playing a game for a living. But here's the fact of the matter is, and it's not going to change until one of them cave. They have a value for Pete that they aren't budging. Maybe there's some wrinkles in the contract they don't like. Pete wants to be a Met. This is the other thing about it. I think there's a chance. Everyone keeps saying there's no market. I agree. We don't know. It hasn't been reported, and it probably would have been, if there was a contract of significance made to Pete by the Blue Jays or the Angels or someone else. But I think Pete desperately wants to be a Met, and everybody feels that. Like, I would venture to guess that if Pete called the Blue Jays himself or made it like, hey, look, I'll be a Blue Jay, let's talk. Like, maybe you would get more offers, but that's not to say the market would suddenly explode. But I do think that some of these teams, because the perception is, you ask anyone, all these reports, talk to an NL executive, it's just a matter of time before he ends up with the Mets. Like, I think that's the natural feeling because Pete desperately wants to be a Met. And so I'm not saying the market's robust by any means. It's not robust for Bregman. It's not robust for the guys who are left, clearly. But if the Mets do make a signing and officially declare themselves out, I wouldn't be surprised if you see I don't think Pete's then going to sign for $7 million a year. Like, Pete's still going to get his money on some level. So it's the matter of the Mets feeling like they have all the leverage because Pete hasn't got a contract and the market's crap. They're willing to give him a certain amount of money, and when Pete's ready to take it without any of this BS structuring that they don't want to deal with, whether it is what Evan reported as if he opts out after year one, they have to pay him more money for the opt-out, or whatever else the issues that Stearns has with the contract, they're not willing to do it. They don't want him enough to be willing to do it, and Pete's either going to come to his senses and take the contract, or it's going to get to a point where it doesn't happen, and Pete's going to go somewhere else. Like, it's really, we know the standstill. We know what's the issue here. The Mets have a value for him. Pete believes he's worth more to the Mets than that value. The market doesn't dictate them having to up that offer. And we wait until someone breaks. And it doesn't feel like it's going to be the Mets. Joe in Smithtown. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm a Yankee fan, but this is something that I've been listening to about this with the polar bear for months. Do people realize since 2019, he's only like 5 or 6 home runs off of Aaron Judge's?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know he's like struggled with his like batting average the last 2 years, but I mean, why is this guy's value not as where it should be? It just,
yeah, I mean,
it boggles my mind.
I know. Well, he had a down. There's a bunch of reasons. One, the first base market.
But two.
The first base market is just not, I mean, what it is. I mean, even like Christian Walker.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. For the first baseman right now, whether it's the defensive position, you look at the war stat that teams go by, first basemen just have a tough time gaining war because of the defensive position they have. But you're right. He's hit a ton of home runs. Last year, he had 210 or 217 or whatever it was. He was completely unclutch. I mean, he just was. That's fair. I don't think it's been an issue his entire career, but it was last year.
No.
He had a down year. He was unclutch until the playoffs. And, I mean, you're right. He's had the most. Judge passed him this year. He had the most home runs since 2019 in all of baseball.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I know. But, I mean, he's a home. That's all he does. He's not, you know, Judge hits 310. You know, Judge. Judge is an excellent defensive player. I mean, that's why. You got a defensive outfielder. So, I mean, the market is different for those players. I don't know why the first base market has collapsed the way it has, but it has. And Pete's bearing the brunt of it. That's it for me. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side, always appreciate it. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Tomorrow, a 5-hour midnight ride, football-less Friday. We'll talk more baseball. We'll get you ready for the weekend, have a little bit of fun, do some different things as we do get ready for the Super Bowl coming in a week. But until then, have a great day. I got baseball practice. I got a lot of things to do. I'm sure you do as well. The warm-up show is next, followed by the morning show. Enjoy the entire day here on The Fan. Give Evan a call and ask him how the gummy went. I'll see you guys at midnight. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.